Thank you so much, Gene and worship team. Appreciate it. Good morning, church family. Awesome. All right. Fantastic. My name is Scott Holmgren. If you don't know me, my wife and I have been coming here for about a year and a half. And typically you'll find us on Sunday mornings in with the young adult ministry. So for my yammers who know me very well, it's good to see you from up here this morning. You know, I hope you didn't escape you a lot of the references up here. I heard the word hunger in the singing, right? I heard the word food. I'm kind of getting hungry. I don't know if you had enough for breakfast. I know I didn't. But it should remind us of why we're here this morning. The writers of the New Testament, not by accident, refer to this as milk and meat. And Christ says, I am the bread of life. My encouragement is that this morning we've come to eat and to feast on the truth of God's word. So join me in setting your plate and putting your napkin in your collar and getting your silverware, because this morning my goal, by God's grace, by the leading of the Spirit, is to dig into the word and to feast so that we are spiritually nourished by the truth of God's word. Let's pray and then we'll begin. Father God, thank you so much, Lord, that you loved us enough to send your son to die for us. And thank you that you loved us to include your truth in your word to us, that you inspired men to write it down and then you preserved it throughout history, that though men would try to destroy it and nullify it, you have preserved it. And so this morning, as we come to open your word, as we continue in Matthew, as we look and see what you have for us today, that we would be ready to feast, that we would be ready to dig in and eat. And Lord, that your Spirit would do that amazing transformative work in our hearts to nourish us and sustain us in the coming days, that it would transform us, cause us to be more like Jesus. And so, Father, we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. In 1879, the Oxford University Press in England sought to collect every single word in the English language, every single word, and assemble them all into a brand new authoritative dictionary. Sir James Murray, maybe a name you know, but you'll have known it now, he was a Scottish lexicographer and philologist. He was the primary editor, and he labored over the project for the last 35 years of his life. But what made the enterprise so unique was that it was also the work of hundreds of volunteers all over the world. Murray would appeal through newspapers. So these newspapers would go out, and they were distributed to bookshops and libraries for people who could send him in as many quotations as they could find of ordinary words, or find words that were rare, obsolete, old-fashioned, new, peculiar, or used in a peculiar way. And he received millions of slips of paper. You can see a few of them in those little cubby holes. I mean, does anybody's office look like that? Unless you're compiling every word in the English language, I don't know how it could, but that's pretty astounding. Look at that photo. When it was completed in 1928, 50 years later, the Oxford English Dictionary would consist of 12 volumes and over 414,000 words. There were 1.8 million citations employed to illustrate their meanings. And unfortunately, Mr. Murray never saw the completion of it. When he died, he had only gotten through the letter T. Today, there's a word for the method that Murray used. It's called crowdsourcing. Maybe you've heard of that word. It's the idea that you get a lot of people, volunteers, to provide input for your project. That was a word that didn't even exist when Mr. Murray collected his words. But I say all this to emphasize that words matter. Words do matter. They certainly matter for you and me every day, for without them, we can't really communicate. We might say things, but without the understanding and the knowledge of their meaning, we'd just be babbling. It would simply be babble, and with meaning, words then can clarify. That's how we communicate with one another. And Mr. Murray sought to understand the historical and cultural sources of the words. But this morning, we're going to see that Jesus wants us to know that he cares even more about the source of our words. For truly, where do our words come from? Which brings us to our text this morning. Our sermon is called Words Matter. And if you have your Bibles, and if you don't, there are Bibles, I think, in the pews there. Grab your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to be looking at verses 33 through 37 as we continue our series, Upside Down Kingdom, from the book of Matthew. So I'll listen to the sound of pages turning and books flipping, and I think you're all there. So if you're not, you're tapping your glass and you have your smartphones, that's fine too. Matthew 12, starting in verse 33, follow along. It says, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and the fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words will you be condemned." Now, to set the context, these verses follow immediately what we saw last week as Stan talked about the Pharisees coming forward and denying who Christ was. They were skeptical. In verse 22, Jesus heals a demonized man, and then the Pharisees ultimately oppose him, saying he's of the devil. But Jesus points out their stubborn unbelief, and he illustrates it with their very own words through verse 32. Which now leads us to verse 33. This is why words matter. And Jesus is going to start to make some connections. Don't miss it. Jesus uses three statements about connections to drive home his point. First of all, in verse 33, look what he says. Either make the tree good and